Good morning and welcome back to another edition of High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, right here on Talk 960, brought to you by Providence St. Mary Medical Center. COVID-19 cases are rising in our high desert. Make your appointment today to protect yourself, your family, and our community. Schedule your free appointment at a convenient location near you through myturn.ca.gov. Message brought to you by trusted friends in the high desert, Providence St. Mary Medical Center, and the San Bernardino County Department of Public Health. We're keeping it local with high desert issues, events, and interesting people. You can hear us every weekend, Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960 and talk960.com. Let's get to it.
Well, good morning, Roxanne.
Hi, everybody. Good to see you, Regina.
It's good to see you. It is another beautiful weekend. And I'm really excited, Roxanne, because we have three amazing people in studio with us. And this is our first time interviewing three people all together. So we're going to see how that goes.
It's going to go fine. And we have a repeat guest as well.
We do. But I'm in keeping with the spirit and the recognition of Hispanic Heritage Month, we are talking about a beautiful exhibit that is currently on display at Victor Valley College in the Performing Arts Center. And there are, I believe, 9 artists that are showing in this exhibition. It is definitely focused on the celebration of Hispanic culture, right? And we've got the curators of that show, Teresa Polly Shellcroft and Vanessa Gomez, who helped to curate that show, but also Vanessa is a contributing artist to that, and I am really excited to have this gentleman in studio. His name is Gil Hernandez. I believe he's 81 years young.
Looking good.
84 years young, but he looks 81. How about that? Who is the featured artist in this show. And so I can't say enough good things about it. It's free to the public, to the community, to go out and see this in celebration, once again, of Hispanic Heritage Month. So I want to welcome all three of our guests, Teresa, Gil, and Vanessa. Welcome to Conversations with Regina and Roxanne.
Thank you.
So I want to start with Teresa and Vanessa. You can kind of chime in. I want you to tell us the name of the exhibit and how you guys kind of got together, curated this show, and found these 9 amazing artists who contributed to the exhibition.
Well, Regina, you came to me and said, I have someone who can help you, which was Vanessa. And Vanessa actually did most of the work. She contacted the artist. She put together the flyer. She picked the name for the show. I was just her help.
Okay. All right. So, Vanessa, tell us the name of the show.
Well, the name was Shaping the Future.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part, well, it's the name was Hispanic Heritage Month Expedition at BVC. And we went with the theme of Hispanic Heritage Month this year was Shaping the Future.
Right. Yes. And so what does that mean in terms of what this art exhibit is trying to convey?
Well, our artists, they all have very varied ways to work, and their work represents different aspects. So we had a lot of diverse pieces. So and also, this was how many art exhibits has BVC had? Not too many.
Many.
Oh, many?
Yeah.
So it's kind of growing off the space at BBC and just hoping for more work throughout the year and growing the local artists in the area and outside of the area, too.
Yeah. Wonderful. Teresa, you were...
Yeah, I just wanted to add to the title Shaping the Future. To me, when I see the work of Hispanic artists, and Regina, you know the problems we've run in trying to recruit Hispanic artists.
Yes.
So Shaping the Future, in conjunction with that show, says to me that this is just the first step. This is the open door.
Yes.
For more shows.
Yeah, and for me it also means, what I saw is that there were a number of young artists
mm-hmm.
that are part of the exhibition, which it really excites me, right? And I think the diversity of artists that are there in the work, as you were talking about the different medias that they work in, and then the styles and all of that, but it comes from their experience and how they define themselves as part of this Hispanic culture. And I love the fact that you were able to get Mr. Hernandez involved, because here's somebody who is considered to be an elder, right? But his work is timeless, right? And so, Gil, what made you say yes to being a part of this exhibition?
Well, my neighbor, who's a graduate from the school, approached me about it. So I looked into it, and sure enough, got together with her. And she asked for 3, but I gave her 7. Now, I was telling her this morning that I happened to have sold one that was up there.
Wonderful. So let's talk a little bit about the work. Let's talk about a little bit about your work in particular, Gil, because you, if I understand, you're kind of a storyteller with your art, right? Do I have that right?
I don't know. I hope so.
Okay. Well, talk to us a little bit about your creative process. What inspires you to paint?
Oh, just your imagination. Sometimes you're just walking around a store or you see a statue, and then you say to yourself, if I did that, how would I do it? Mm-hmm. Or if I saw somebody else's painting, you say, if I... And then your imagination just runs wild, and that's enough energy for you to get down and start painting.
Yes.
Art is art. It's
yes.
All that comes from the heart.
You have one painting, and I think it was on the 24th of September, I believe, that you guys had an open house reception. And so there were over 300 that attended that reception. And in that, you were doing some interviewing with the artists. And I believe, Gil, you can correct me, but I believe during your interview, one of the paintings, I think you said, was of your family. It was of a group of men.
Right.
Right. Can you tell us a little bit about that painting?
Well, my dad had a patio in his backyard, and he has all this, he has all his antique rifles and bullets and caps. And anyway, my dad is one of them, and then my brother and so on down the line. So here we're standing there with antique rifles and Mexican hat, Mexican bullets, and I turned it into like a family feud. That's what I called it. But then I had it in line and drawing, and then one day I came up around and said, I'm going to try this in color. So I tried it in watercolor, and that was the result.
It's beautiful. And what is it titled?
Family Feud.
Family Feud. I think all of us can relate to that. I think all of us can relate to that. I want to ask you, Vanessa, especially as a young Chicana artist, I think I've heard you refer to yourself as, and a muralist. Why is this so important to have these opportunities to provide these type of experiences and exposure of Hispanic art to community? Why is that important?
Well, it's important because specifically in Victorville and probably in Hesperia, like, we have a big Hispanic population. I think we're the highest percentage-wise, I believe. So it's I think it's important to have opportunities for artists to show their work, or because artists are into, like, different pockets. Like, some like to go to galleries or have their work shown in galleries or sell their art at events as a vendor, or, you know, public art. So there's different pockets. So I think it's important to have different opportunities available for them to get into, especially over here. Like,
and I couldn't agree with you more, because I believe that our kids need outlets in which they can, in creative ways, express themselves, right? And exposure to the arts, right? Whether they you know, become like a Vanessa and say, I always liked animation and I wanted to do this, and now she's pursuing that as a career, or whether it's just I'm going through this period of time and I need to find a way to express it, right? I think that's so critically important for our kids, and it needs to be a safe space, because our kids are dealing with so much, from anxiety to depression, to just trying to navigate this crazy world that we've brought them to, right? And I think that we should have the responsibility of providing some solutions, some safe spaces, some resolves for that. And I know that art, whether it be through painting, drawing, animation, video, music, dance, I know that art is healing, and art also helps us to express and get out what we have inside of us in a very positive way, right? And so with that, I know there's been talk about possibly using this as a catalyst to start a community gathering space for artists, right?
Yes.
Where we can have artists come in and create that environment and that atmosphere that is conducive to creativity, right? And people can come and be participants, or they can be observers. They can purchase art.
Right.
Maybe it's even a space where we can have for our young ones to come in and self-express as well. It doesn't exist yet, but that doesn't mean that it won't, and that we don't get it going. And so maybe right here, Roxanne, is where we plant the seeds and getting going, right? And so if we've got listeners out there that have space that they'd be willing to discuss of helping to create that space into an artist community, how would they get in touch with you? So I'll start with you, Teresa, and telling us how they can contact you, and we'll just go from you to Gil to Vanessa, right?
I can be contacted at T. Polly, P-O-L-L-E-Y, Shellcroft, S-H-E-L-L-C-R-O-F-T, at yahoo.com, and put in the line Artist Connection. That would get my attention. Also, you can contact me at Victor Valley College through the art department.
Great.
And...
yeah, and then you also have TPS Creative Expressions.
Right, I have TPS Creative Expressions.
Which is a nonprofit organization.
Right, a nonprofit organization, and our purpose and function is to promote the arts, to provide activities, displays, artwork. So contact me and we'll go from there.
Wonderful. And then, Gil, if somebody wanted to reach out to you and further discuss this idea, because you shared earlier with us before we went on air that... I believe it was it in East L.A.?
East Los Angeles.
Yeah, in East L.A., there was something like this, and you believe that it still may be going on now.
I haven't been out there for a long time, but it really helped at the time, really, really helped. All the young artists would come in. In fact, we had a lot of special guests that would come in on Saturdays with us. There was, like, Eddie Martinez that did a little Dolly for the movies.
Yes.
We had Frank Martinez, who has the only... piece of art in the new church downtown, right off the freeway.
Yes.
And then he also did the tile design at the Talaku in East Los Angeles.
Oh.
It's the Talaku building.
Yes. Okay. And so if somebody wants to get in touch with you to find out more about your art, how they can purchase it, or to further discuss this idea that's incubating for this community gathering place for artists, how would they do that? Is there a phone number?
Same number.
I'll give it to them. Can I give it to them?
That's my secretary.
Okay. They can reach Gil Hernandez at 909-257-4808, right? And then, Vanessa, how about for you?
Probably the easiest is through my Instagram. It's imagine vivid underscore VMG. In my bio, you know how they say link in bio. So in my bio, I have my email, my website. So that's probably the easiest
way. Yeah. So I hope that we've lit a fire within community. because I think having a gathering place for artists and where we can come and just soak up that environment, that creativity, and it, you know, it's a way to bring us together instead of dividing, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
I think that's a wonderful idea, but beyond that, I think we should try our best to make it happen, right? And so if you're listening out there and you want to find a way to support, you've got numbers, emails, all of that, and Roxanne, they can reach out to us here at the station,
absolutely.
Right? And we'll be happy to connect. Before we go, I just want to reiterate the show is on exhibit through October 15th, right?
October 23rd.
October 23rd. Ooh, even more time.
Yes.
October 23rd is free.
Yes.
Right? And are there hours, Teresa, that the public is admitted, or how does that work?
Because it's in the Performing Arts Center in the lobby. It's pretty much only open if there's a program going on.
Okay.
But if someone wants to see the show, if they contact me through the college email or my email, private email, I can probably make arrangements.
Right.
So
well, thank you so much, and thank you for coming today to be with us and share with our audience.
Thank you.
We've got Halloween coming up and the holidays, and the end of the year is approaching.
I can't believe it. And we're headed towards that cold weather.
Yes. And we're also headed to a very big event.
Yes.
The election coming up.
Yeah, which is not only just a big event, but it's a very serious.
It is very serious.
Very serious for us. And so I'm just really excited that we've got this guest that's going to be able to share a lot of information to our listeners regarding the upcoming election. And we want to welcome to the show Melissa Eichmann, who is the communications officer for the San Bernardino County Registrar of Voters. Melissa, welcome to Conversations with Regina and Roxanne.
Thank you for having me.
You know what? We're going to jump in because I'm sure there's a lot of information that you're going to be able to give us. And actually, between Roxanne and myself, I think we've got quite a few questions.
Yes, we do.
So we're going to jump in and ask. I think the most pressing question is the voter registration deadline. When is the actual deadline that you have to be registered in order to vote in this election?
Well, that's an interesting question. So the traditional voter registration deadline is going to be Monday, October 21st. If you register by that date, then you'll have a mail ballot sent to you and a voter information guide mailed out to you. If you miss that deadline, any voter can register to vote at one of our early vote sites or even one of our polling places on election day even. And they can still vote a provisional ballot, so we can verify that that no other ballot has been cast by that person in the state of California, and we can get your vote counted here.
Okay. And so if by chance somebody has missed that October 21st deadline, as I understand it, they can still vote right up until Election Day by going to either the early voting site or their assigned site, and they will ask for a provisional ballot. Is that correct?
Yes. They would register to vote first at that location, and then they would be given a provisional ballot, correct?
Great. Okay, great. And then, since we're talking about that, how many different ways are there that we can vote?
Well, we like to call it four different ways that you can choose to vote. So every voter is going to receive a mail ballot in the mail. So you can choose to take that mail ballot after you vote it, sign the envelope. You can mail it back in by our regular United States Postal Service. You want to make sure you get that postmark no later than election day, though.
Mm-hmm.
You can take your ballot, your mail ballot, you can drop it off in a secure ballot drop box. We have over 75 throughout the county. We have a map of those on our website as well.
Okay.
Or you can go to your designated polling place, and you can vote on election day there. The fourth option is going to one of our early vote sites. We have one open right now here in San Bernardino at the Registrar of Voters Office, and we will have four more opening on October 29th. We'll have one in Joshua Tree. We'll have one in Ontario. Apple Valley, and Victorville.
Oh, very nice. Right. Wonderful. Here in the High Desert.
So those are two locations that you will have, Victorville and Apple Valley. And is it possible, Melissa, that you can tell us exactly where those locations are in Victorville and Apple Valley?
They are going to be at the Victorville City Hall.
Okay.
And the Town of Apple Valley Recreation Center.
So, Melissa, if we receive our mail-in ballot, which I already received it, I don't want to use it. I want to vote in person. That's perfectly fine, too, correct?
Yes. You can take that ballot into the polling place, and you can request to vote a ballot in person. If you didn't receive your ballot, that's okay. You can still go in and request to vote in person. We'll be able to check and make sure that you're a registered voter and that you haven't returned a ballot.
And Melissa, if someone missed some of this information or would like to get more information, is there in fact a website where we can go and get information on voting? Can you provide us that, please?
Yes, our website is elections.sbcounty.gov.
elections.sbcounty.gov, correct?
Correct.
Got it. And let me ask, is that where we would also go if we want to follow the election night results?
Absolutely. Those election night results will begin posting at 8:30 p.m. on November 5th, that night, after all the polls close.
Okay.
Also, too, Melissa, in San Bernardino County, do you see more, I don't know, for your statistics from 2020 to here, if you can tell us, are more people voting by mail-in ballot or in person that you've seen?
More people are voting by mail-in ballot.
Okay.
Okay. And then kind of piggybacking on that, is there a number that we currently have or projection we currently have for the anticipated turnout for this election cycle in San Bernardino County?
No, we don't do the projections. We can look back historically and see that the presidential general elections are typically our highest turnout elections, and it can get up to around maybe 75%. But for this election, we don't have a projection.
Okay.
Do you see a lot of excitement in San Bernardino County for the election season so far?
Yes, there is. We are seeing an uptick in our early voting here at our office, which is generally a little bit quieter at this time.
Mm.
But because, again, it's the general election and we're voting for president, there are more people coming in to vote early.
Wow. Now, is there still time, if someone is interested in being a poll worker, is there still time for...
Or a poll watcher, things like that?
Poll watcher. Is there still time to do that, or has that time passed?
As for our poll workers, so there's a difference between poll workers and poll watchers. Our poll workers are the ones that will help voters at the polling place, mm-hmm. give them their ballot, sign them in, help them cast their ballot. Those poll worker training classes are almost over, but we do have some positions still available. So definitely if someone wants to be a poll worker, go on our website, get our application, fill that out, and get that into us right away. As far as poll watching, now that's what the public does. Some organizations set up poll watcher teams to go out and look and see what's happening at the polls on election day. But we do also have a really exciting opportunity. So anyone, if they'd like to come into our office and observe what's going on here and see how we process the ballots, it's a really exciting thing to watch and to get all your questions answered of what goes on behind the scenes. And we have already started that. So no appointment is needing. I do have a schedule on our website.
Okay.
You can see what's going on. And just come on down to ask to observe what's happening and if we have anything going on with ballots, which we usually do.
Uh-huh.
But right now we usually do. Come on in. We'll be able to happy to answer all your questions to show you everything happening.
So Melissa, with that, would you give us that website address again, please?
Sure. It's elections.sbcounty.gov.
Great. Mm-hmm.
And then also, can you talk to us a little bit? I found out about this a couple of months ago, I believe, but there is actually a ballot mobile that the County of San Bernardino has. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. Our ballot mobile is for our traveling voter education campaign. We want to go and talk to voters throughout the county to talk to them about what their options are for voting, how they can register to vote, how they can help out to being a poll worker, having those opportunities about coming down and observing what's going on here, all the same things we've been talking about, but that's what we're doing, getting out in the county with our ballot mobile, giving some giveaways, having some, you know, fun things to do with our Instagram wall. But we're out trying to just engage with our voters in a nonpartisan way, of course.
I have two questions. Melissa, how would we, I know it's very important people talk about how do we track our vote or track our ballot to see where it's going, if it's been counted. Also, too, what are some of the big questions that you've received maybe this year in election season as we wind down? We've got maybe almost, close to 3 weeks, 2 weeks left. So what are some of the big questions that you've received, Melissa?
Big questions. People are interested, basically, when are they going to receive their ballot, their voter information guide. They've got that. Questions about the voter information guide. Where do I find where I go vote on election day? Very basic questions that we normally hear. Nothing real unusual.
Okay. And then how will we track our ballot?
You can track, any voter can track their ballot by signing up for wheresmyballot.com. And it will tell you, you know, if your ballot has been mailed, which most everyone's will say that right now it was mailed out to the voters on October 7th. And it will tell, once you vote your ballot, you can go back in and check and see when we received the ballot and when we've processed your ballot and when eventually it gets counted.
Mm-hmm. And again, they can do that at wheresmyballot.com?
Yes, wheresmyballot.com.
Okay, and then that gets them set up to be able to track that. Well, Melissa, we want to thank you for all this wonderful information that you've shared with us. Once again, if anyone has any questions, looking for more information or how to be connected to the Registrar of Voters office for San Bernardino County, they can actually go to elections.sbcounty.gov, and that will definitely hopefully get them on the path to getting their questions answered, right, and providing the information that they need. Melissa, before we go, is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners in preparation for our upcoming election day?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in preparation for election day, I just want to remind everybody that they have their ballot mailed to them, or they can go in into a polling place and they can vote. They can vote early at one of our early voting sites. But if anyone has any questions, call our office. We have a whole phone bank team here ready to help, 909-387-8300. That's our phone number. Also, if you have any questions about wondering if you are registered to vote, you can find that on our website, or you can also call us. And we have operators waiting to help.
And yes. Melissa, once this election is over, you're ready for the next one. So it doesn't stop with your office, correct?
No, it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. We're always planning for another election. Thank you so much, and thank you for helping us get the word out about voting.
Thank you, Melissa. Thanks again for being a part of our conversation. You can reach out to us and let us know what you want to talk about. Send us an email at RoxanneScafidi@edbroadcasters.com. Hi, Desert Dialogue. Conversations with Regina and Roxanne has been brought to you by Provident St. Mary Medical Center. COVID-19 cases are rising in our high deserts. Make your appointment today to protect yourself, your family, and our community. Schedule your free appointment at a convenient location near you through myturn.ca.gov. Message brought to you by Trusted Friends in the High Desert, Provident St. Mary Medical Center, and the San Bernardino County Department of Public Health. We'll talk to you next weekend.